Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. In fact, whenever or wherever you're listening to this episode of the NA Golf Channel podcast, back for episode 2 of 2024. Hey, Emma, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, PK. I'm good. How's you?
All good, thanks. Yep, get ready for a bit more chit chat. Hope you've been got all your plans in place because we're going to be talking Masters. Then we're going to have a bit of a chat about Padraig Harrington's ambition to get everybody to single figures. Then we're going to hear from Knox Katie Poots about life in the USA. And then we're going to have a wee chat about Scottie Scheffler because actually he may just win everything. But before any of that, wee bit of news close to home. Emmy, you may have heard that we've had a couple of more additions to the Irish Open. So Padraig and Seamus Power have signed up. It's looking to be a decent field so far. No surprises, but always good to hear Seamus coming over.
Yes, exactly. And his injury and stuff last year, it's really nice to see him out and about in general. So coming home, the home open, brilliant. They're going to be out in force, and why not? Because the crowds will be brilliant. It's always a great week. Everybody who's not Irish absolutely loves the Irish crowds. So never mind what it must be like to play in front of your home crowd. So it's shaping up nicely, very
Indeed.
nicely.
Still a few tickets though to be purchased for the Irish Open. You can find out a bit more on the European Tour website. Tickets are going quick. Some things have been sold out, but there's still plenty there. And talking about a Newcastle man, what about our great friend Spaz Simon Thornton, who's booked himself an opportunity to play in the Irish Open and the BMW PGA Championship after winning the PGA playoffs in Aphrodite Hills in Cyprus at the start of the month. So Simon birdied the 17th hole and managed to win by a stroke out there. And he'll now get the chance to play at Royal County Down. He'll also get a chance to play at
Fantastic.
Wentworth. He gets to play in the Betfair British Masters. And he gets a number of Challenge Tour starts, including the NA Open at Galgorm Castle and the Irish Challenge a week later. Now, Simon, for those who people who don't know, has recently sort of not put the clubs away, but he's been kind of edging towards life as a club professional, and he's been working in Spa Golf Club, and he probably has played very little golf, if, like a lot of us with the weather. To go over there and to do what he did is fantastic. So one of the other things he's got with this is a chance to play in the for the PGA of GB&A against the USA in the PGA Cup. So he's booked his place with that, except for one thing, Emma.
What's
It
that?
clashes with the Irish Open.
Okay, you're kidding. How many things are on that week? That's Solheim Cup week as well. Bad
So,
planning, golf people.
yeah. So Simon, who obviously is from Newcastle, played an awful lot of his golf at
There
Newcastle, will have to make a decision about that. He played, by the way, he played in the Irish Open last time it was held at Royal County Down back in 2015. So he did make the cut that
we
week.
go. A wee while ago.
But a great story. Great to see him perform so well.
Absolutely. I bet the weather was a bit nicer out there, as you say.
Talking about weather, it has been horrendous. I've been playing no golf. Has anybody been playing any golf?
I don't think anyone has. The PGA Tour has barely been playing any golf. Sure, the weather shortages and weather delays and all the rest of it. That's climate change, people. We need to do your recycling. That's
Yeah.
not fun.
I think we just need to start playing indoor simulator golf flat out. We're going to
Indeed.
talk about tips, but as you well know, at Augusta they have the sub-air system, so
Well, they
they
do.
can dry everything out.
Yes,
We
bet that was a
all need
pretty
sub-air
penny.
systems, but we don't have the Masters money. So it's that time of the year where we start and jinx people flat out. So Emma, I'm going to ask you for a couple of picks. Who do you think is going to do the business this year at the Masters?
So I think we just take Scottie Scheffler out of the equation would be my first thought. Not to get old Tiger on his ass, but I think that's, let's just take him out of it. And I put my bets on about 3 weeks ago maybe, because I like to do it before people start playing a bit better and wreck all my odds and my chances of making my 50p back here and there. So I have gone for Auber. And I have gone for Wyndham Clark as well, who may now have peaked and be having a new crisis after that lip out last week. So both complete debutants, neither played the Masters before. But I don't think that's a hindrance to either of them, particularly actually Ludvig. I think his performance last week, he can shape the ball both ways. He's cool and calm, as you like, takes on every challenge with just confidence and calm in his own game. And I think he'll probably do quite well. So apologies, Ludvig, when you missed the cut. Now I've said that.
One of the things, so obviously John Rahm's gone back as defending champion. But it's very difficult to gauge how the live guys are playing.
No.
Because they haven't played as much golf anyway, mm-hmm. and they're only three sort of rounds. So, yes, we know the standard's probably gone up a bit with the introduction of some new quality players this year, but it's still very hard to weigh it up. And we'd have to say that, in truth, that makes the world rankings and all probably up the left. So looking at them's not a good idea either. So for me, obviously you're thinking, right, well, I need to look at performances and form and somebody who might just peak at the right time. So I'm thinking here, I have a wee notion for Shane Lowry.
I had money on him last week. So I think, yes, I think he might be onto something there. Mm-hmm.
Sean, a wee bit of form, looking consistently. He's obviously, we're recording when he's in Singapore, so he'll have played at Singapore. He'll have had a couple of weeks sort of get his head right. And the other one then is Max Homa, who once again really shown signs of playing well, being in contention a couple of times, and hopefully starting to peak towards the right period. So that's where I'm sitting at the minute for two. I'd love to have said, you know, Rory. I'd love to have said John Rahm again. I just don't think Rory's playing particularly well. I think there's, as he says himself, after the players, a lot of good, but some real bad destructive shots in there. And I just can't gauge John Rahm's form.
No, it's just nigh on impossible. But then if he is just, you know, trotting along nicely, then he'll be up there, won't he? It's one of those, isn't it? The same people tend to come out once you've cracked Augusta National. If your game is with you, then you've cracked Augusta National. Now, whether that means you're going to excel there and go that bit above everyone else, totally different thing.
It is quite wide open this year. Certainly, I would say that. And I think there's a lot of players who, we saw the players, aside from one who we will speak about, who's the favourite by a country mate.
He will not be named until later.
I think, in actual fact, let's just talk about him now.
Oh, let's just talk about him now.
Let's
Why
just
not?
Talk about him. It's like a name. Really, it's hard to look past Scotty Scheffler because he now has a putter in his hand that he can actually use.
Jeez, I know.
He's so good. He probably is light years ahead of anybody else at the minute.
He really is. It's just the charge on, you know, obviously there's always beware the injured golfer, but beware the injured Scheffler is probably like even a step worse than that, isn't it? Like the charge with that five shots back off two, like Schauffele, to be fair, and Clark did wobble. They didn't go out there and seize it, but the five shots back and then the way he played was just nuts. I mean, it really was. I think it's interesting because, you know, people, as soon as anybody shows any signs of dominance, all the Tiger comparisons come instantly, don't they? And it's always a bit ridiculous. And, you know, Tiger tweeting himself saying, well done, Scotty, you know, another 12 years to go or whatever it was. You know, it's all good banter. But, you know, after Arnold Palmer, there was a feeling a little bit of the aura was creeping in. Now, he's obviously a very different character and Tiger was so closed off and nobody knew anything about him. And that was partly the aura, but it's very different from that point of view, you know, him and Meredith and his grandma, and he's like just, you know, the perfect all-American and you know a lot about him. But he's just a machine on a golf course. And I think the other players, wasn't it Shane even was saying, you know what, even if I'd had my best game today, I wouldn't have beaten him out there. Now that's a nice, you know, very sportsmanlike thing to say, but you at the same time, you're thinking, don't let that get in your head, sunshine, because if you all start doing that, It's gonna, look, he's got you. He's got you before you've even, you know, he's however many strokes up if you're in his group in particular before you've even teed off. So,
Yeah, that's a
which
good
is
point.
Tiger-esque. So he's managing to start having that bit of that effect without having to be the standoffish, you know, eyes like looking like he's a Terminator. He doesn't have the attitude of a Terminator. He may play golf like one,
Interesting.
but I find it fascinating in a way.
He
But I
certainly
also.
isn't. I think you're right. He certainly isn't personality-wise intimidating.
No,
There's no
no.
aura with him. In fact, you could say he's quite bland in many
Yeah, well,
respects.
absolutely. The press give him a lot of stick for being boring,
He's
in a
quite
word,
bland and
but.
boring. I tell you what, but he's got something about him when he plays. There's a real edge to him.
100%.
He's very tunnel focused. He just gets on with it. He's so tidy. He makes so few mistakes. And he just plays golf with so, it looks risk-free.
That's a very good way of putting
It
it.
looks
And
risk-free.
because it's obviously not, but
Methodical,
the cal
mechanical.
yeah,
It's
and the
not the
calculations for
feet
when it
going all
does
over the
go wrong.
place.
Oh dear Lord, I know.
It's so,
Yeah,
you know, it's so
ankle
clearly
breaking.
not. But he is, you
No.
know, it almost is like the shop shape and everything he's doing. But you know, you look at his feet are dancing all over the place. You're thinking to yourself, how is he doing this? Because he's just a premium top class athlete.
Hundred
That's it.
percent.
That's it.
Yeah,
And
it really
he's
is.
got it all going on. So really and truly, although I've picked two guys, at the minute you'd have to say Scheffler.
Yeah, I think you would. And it's interesting. Somebody, obviously, there's quite a lot going around on social media about how much money Ted's got, Scotty's caddy has made in the last couple of weeks, and then the unfortunate comparison that he's earned more money than Rory in the last two events.
He's earned Rory's earned 790 odd thousand, which isn't bad. And
No, I mean, I
Ted,
would take it.
yeah, Ted's earned
It's
850
850 or
odd
something.
thousand.
Over for a wee bit something different now because Paul had the chance to catch up with Knox Katie Poots, who is currently a freshman at the University of Central Florida. Here's what she had to say.
Hello, Katie. How are you? You're welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And I think it's great that we managed to get you during a wee break between semesters. I know that
Yes.
American phrase. How has your first few months gone in America?
Yeah, first semester was hard. Just being homesick and just being away from home, it's so different over there. So it was hard, and then got home for winter break, which was nice. Got like a month, and then when I came back over there, it was so much easier.
Yeah.
So I'm home for spring break at the minute. It's really
Nice spring break. How long is a spring break for you at the minute?
it was 9 days. So I go home on Sunday.
That's not too bad at all. And once you've sort of settled in and found your feet a wee bit more, how has the golf been?
Yeah, so much better. So much more enjoyable because you know your team, you sort of get more comfortable, and you understand how it really works. So it like helps a lot.
And what sort of level are we at with your current university? Because people are never too sure. You know, is it NCAAs? Is it Big 12? What is it?
We're Big 12 at the minute, so I think
Oh,
we're
very
ranked
sweet.
21, 21st, I think, at the minute. So,
Okay. And just to make it clear, you're right at the start of your journey over there.
yeah, I'm freshman, yeah, first year.
Yeah. Freshman, and what are you allegedly meant to be studying?
So I was business management, but I changed the week before I left home to interdisciplinary studies. Yep.
Interdisciplinary studies.
Yeah, don't
I
ask
love
me what it is because I don't know.
it. And what does a sort of normal day entail for you up over there at the minute, because you're in Florida, so you know you don't really have to worry about it being freezing cold, or you don't have to worry about it blowing a gale, or you know, I
No.
suppose it's golf every day if you want it.
Yeah, honestly, it's perfect. At the minute, it's like 30 degrees, so it's like hard to beat. So on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we do practice at, well, we have workouts first, and it starts at 7, and then we do practice from 9 to 12:30, and then we all go for lunch, and then it's sort of like class time, or if you have tutors, sort of that. And then on Tuesday and Thursday, we play. So we tee off at about 7, so we get picked up at like our housing area at like 6 in the morning.
Unbelievable.
So we normally
Unbelievable.
play at like Alsworth or like sometimes Lake Nona. So our home course is Eagle Creek, but we change it about sometimes,
So
so it's
hold on a
hard to beat.
second. You play Aylworth or Lake Nona?
Yeah, we played Bay Hill as well.
Oh,
So
terrible.
just to throw
Absolutely
that
awful.
in there.
And
Yeah.
I believe so I think Leona's living has got a place in Lake Nona now as well.
Yeah, my first semester I met up with Leona and she was like a massive help with me.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's fantastic. Did that sort of, you made a point of going to have a chat where you just bump into her?
Yeah, I was practicing there and I went over to speak to her and she gave me her number. And yeah, the old time we text, but we
Oh,
got to
no.
play Lake Nona together.
Oh, that's
So
absolutely fantastic that she would take the
yeah.
time and do that for you.
Yeah, it's great.
When you made the change or made the decision to go to for college in America, was it specifically with a view to LPGA professional game?
Well, I think my main goal is to go on the LPGA, hopefully in the future. So I think it's just like a big stepping stone to get there. Because I mean, here at home in Belfast, the weather's just not made for golf, really. So it's hard to practice. And over in Florida, is like you can play whenever you want, weather doesn't really come into it. So it's just a stepping stone, really, hopefully. And it gives you an education to sort of fall back on if golf doesn't work out. Because I mean, it's tough on the LPGA tour, LET tour. So it's just a fallback, really.
Yeah, very good. Now your home club is Knock. You've played all your golf there. You're a former Irish Girls champion. You've won the Fairhaven Trophy. And I think for a lot of the people who don't understand, like your season will run kind of just into our real competitive season for the amateur stuff. So what's your early schedule look like when you get home? What are you targeting?
Well, we don't know when we end over in America, whether we get to regionals or nationals. So sort of all dependent on that. I know I'll play like Central Trophy at St Andrews. Always a good one. I mean, hard to beat St Andrews. I'm not too sure my like overall season yet, just because my little sister started to play tournaments, so we're trying to work around trying to do two schedules at once. It
So
isn't gonna be
hang
easy.
on a second. So what we're basically saying was that pre you going away to America, you were the number one and you got lifted and laid everywhere for all your events. And now since you've gone, the baby in the house has taken charge and you're second fiddle now.
Yep, that's basically, yeah, trying to give her a shot. It's
Are
her
you
time to shine.
driving yourself yet? Have you got a car? Are you driving or anything yet?
No, that's dangerous. We don't go there. It's passing your friend's
Yeah, get Katie off the road. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. How is your game then? How are you finding things with the way you're playing and making the adjustment to the American style and courses and grasses? You know the way you hear them on TV? It's poana, it's bent grass, all this stuff.
It's so different. At home, you think, oh, it's just grass. I just hit it. But as a first semester, I really struggled with the grass. But I'm getting used to it now and making like swing changes sort of help with the American style. Yeah, I feel like game's getting there. I mean, hard to try and put it all together at the minute, but bits and pieces there, seeing it. I got a good result there at Moon Golf. So I was really happy because I was a top field. So just trying to bring that game throughout the tournaments and just see where it goes.
Excellent. And you're obviously part of the Ireland setup, the international setup, and I presume a bit of team golf and all that would be in your on your horizons. Who's doing your coaching at the minute? Or have you got anybody that you're working with? And I don't just mean in America.
Yeah, I'm working with Peter Martin at Colin Glenn. So he's a massive help to me. So he coaches me and my sister. So
okay,
yeah, he's perfect.
And then the coach at the university is who?
Emily Marin.
Okay.
Yeah, she's brilliant. She gives you tough love, but it's unbelievable.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Great. How are you finding that competitive environment? Because people sort of also think that they go over there and they're automatically guaranteed to play in every event and start in every event, and you have to earn your way in, don't you?
100%. I mean, we did qualifying in the first semester and I didn't really know what to expect, and that was the team just set out for the whole semester, which was hard to take last semester, I'm not gonna lie. But this semester you sort of get used to it, and like just constantly I live with the girls on the golf team, so you're living with your competitors but they're also your teammates, which is hard to balance because sometimes it gets competitive in the dorm.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it gets tight. Yeah. But and for you, how do you find that sort of environment personally? Are you coping with it? Is it a learning experience? Is it, you know, how are you dealing with that? Because you come from Ireland where it's a very supportive environment.
Yeah, I mean, last semester I really struggled. It was just completely different to what I'm used to. But I also found like a big help to me was my psychologist, Dr. Leanne Sharp. So she like helped me massively, just talking to her, finding ways to deal with it. And like, now I love it. I wouldn't change it, but just takes you a while to adjust.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've grown up quite a bit in the last wee while?
Yeah. I feel like having to do stuff for myself, really not relying on mum and dad.
Do your own washing, own cooking for start.
Yeah, that was a shock to system.
Is there any one tournament this summer that you really, I know you say you don't know when you're going to come back, but there's a general end to the season. So is there anything in particular that you're sort of looking at and thinking I could target that one, or a course or somewhere that you're really looking forward to playing? Apart from St. Andrews.
Well, every year I play St. Rowe. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I just love, it's St. Andrews, like it's the home of golf. And I won the Under 18 trophy last year. So ideally, I would love doing the big thing, but we'll see.
Are you likely playing the amateur and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, we're going to see how it works. Just see how it like all plays out. It's sort of hard to tell right now, but yeah, we'll see, probably.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of making that transition now from girls golf to senior golf, and it takes a wee bit of time to find your feet, you know? And
yeah,
obviously you not being number one in the household any longer is going to impact on that as well.
Yeah, I think like being in America as well, you don't really get a break. I mean, our off season is November and December, and then it's straight from January to November. So it's like just finding the balance as well. Like,
yeah,
tournaments are great, but you also need to balance it with practice and give yourself a bit of family time and recovery.
And rest time, as you say, and learning how to manage all that. And that's probably one of the great things about being away is you have to do that yourself.
Yeah, honestly, like when I'm at home, I just practice every day and you don't really notice that you need rest until you go over there. And sort of with the heat that we don't have here, it takes it out of you.
Yeah, we certainly don't have the heat here. Can you tell me about who started you on your golfing journey? Who is the golfer in the family?
My dad. He tries to play.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. That's a bit harsh.
He's a good putter. I'll give it to him, but everything else is a bit, just close your eyes.
And does he enjoy it?
He loves it. He's played 2 days in a row. So okay. He's on a roll.
Okay. So, and did you start off just by going with him to golf and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think it started when we went to the range. And then Colin Bell, who's my personal trainer right now, I got a lesson with him because he's a good friend of my dad's. And then that's where it all started.
Exactly. How long ago? When did you kind of first pick up a club, do you think?
Well, I'm 18 now. I'd say probably like
I think it was 8 or 9.
Yeah, it's probably 11 years ago, 10 years
ago. Hang on a second. Are you getting prompted in the background there? Is there prompting going on in the background there?
I'm moving my mask.
Get her in shot. Get her in shot. Get her in shot.
Oh, my hair's awful.
Oh, that's brilliant. So, yes, yeah, so you started, you were quite young. And did you take it to it quickly, or was there like other sports in your life before golf?
No, once I started golf, it was just golf. Just fell in love with it instantly.
And who was your idol growing up? Who was the one you looked up to, apart from your dad?
Has to be Rory or Leona McGuire. One of the two.
What was it like then, bumping into Leona over in Lake Nona?
I was shaking and I did not want to talk to her because I was so nervous. But I phoned my dad and he gave me the encouragement and it was like, talked for 2 hours.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it was so good.
Yeah.
I like met her at tournaments and then we went to, there was a LPGA tournament at Lake Nona. So I brought the girls I live with to it. And Leona was walking off 17 and goes, "Hi, Kitty." And they thought I was joking when I said I was friends with Leona. And they all started like, "Are you serious?" So that was like a for real moment.
And what about the likes of a wee invite to the Ladies Irish Open here at Carton House?
Yeah,
that'll be a nice one.
Cool, yeah. I played in it 2 years ago and that was just such a good experience. It's hard to beat.
Yeah, did you learn much from that experience?
Oh, 100%. It's all done in short game. Like, we always try and, like, work on our swing and everything, but if you're swinging it badly, you rely on your short game. So, yeah, it's just short game and putting. It's the importance of it.
And that's, you can see that's where Leona makes her money.
Oh, unreal. Unreal. Saw it firsthand.
Excellent. Listen, Katie, thank you very much for coming on, having a bit of fun with us this evening. We'll be following your career, obviously, over the next few years. Wish you all the best. Hope it all goes well with you. And obviously, I hope the wee sister turns out to be brilliant as well.
Hopefully not as good as me, though.
Lovely. Thank you very much. See you later.
Thank you for having me. See you later.
Well, now, wasn't that good wee chat?
Fantastic. Honestly, I am fully there. I don't know. I can't remember where you sit with your siblings, PK, but as an elder sibling, I'm 100% with her on the, yes, I want my wee brother to succeed, but if he outdoes me, he's no. That sister, is a big fat
wee
no.
Wee sister, not a wee brother.
Yeah. No, my brother. Oh, my brother. I've got a wee brother. She's a wee sister, but I have a wee brother. I was fully there with the no. Support them all you want, but if they threaten to go past you, you got to draw a line there. Class. No.
She was so open.
Mm.
But hats off to Leona McGuire. See, these are the things that golfers do that you never hear about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
Lake Nona practicing. Things maybe homesick, maybe feeling a bit not sure this is going on. Leona McGuire, she goes over and talks to her. Leona doesn't just say, thanks very much, signs a ball and sends her on away. 2 hours later, she's still talking with her.
I know. As if we couldn't love Leona anymore. I mean, I reckon, you know, she's been there, hasn't she? She's been in that position and I'm sure she recognises, well, she recognises how good Katie is for a start, but also I'm sure she recognises the signs of, you know, finding it a bit hard being away from home and being so far away from home as well. You know, it's not just a couple of hours flight. It's a long way to pop home and just check in with your family and get a wee boost and stuff. Technology can be as good as it wants, but there's nothing like seeing people face to face, and to have a friendly face in someone like Leona, who is now just down the road, then that's, you know, that'll be a massive lift and a long-term one. And, you know, brilliant way to impress your mates as well, as we've heard. We name check. Class. Yeah. Just class.
You're just starting there. It's just coming off one of the greens. Well, how you doing, Katie? No bother, Leona. Good to see you.
I love it.
I love that story. So I was thinking, like, if you've got some problems with your swing and you maybe knew Leona McGuire and you were practicing at Lake Nona and you thought to yourself, you know what, Leona, listen, I'm sorry for bothering you. I know you're busy, but you and me are mates now. Can you maybe have a look at me? And Leona, being the friendly person, she would come out and help you and one thing like that. But like, Pádraig Harrington, you see that during the week, Pádraig Harrington reckons that if he had the time with his tips, he can get everybody to being a 9 handicapper. Now, we all know Pádraig's off the wall sometimes, but I can guarantee you, he believes he can get everybody to
Oh.
9 handicap. He
Oh
firmly
yes,
believes that.
that's not just
It's not a joke.
no,
Not a joke.
absolutely not.
So, for people who are listening, and where have you been if you don't know, Paddy's golf tips started during lockdown. And Pádraig was out doing a bit of filming as he practiced on his lovely home estate. Fantastic. Where he spent a lot of time hitting the ball over the corner of his house onto the greens that he had around the place. And he was basically showing people how to do things, and this is what you have to do. And a lot of it wasn't what you would call standard lessons that you would get when you go to a pro. It wasn't, stand here, get your grip, get your posture. He does talk about the basics, but it was all what he would call tips to get the weekend warrior further along. And
Yes.
it's taken off. Taken off. Isn't it mad? You know,
It's huge numbers of subscribers
huge
and
viewers on
people
YouTube,
gagging
on
for the
social
next
media.
videos. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Social
And he
media
seems to have hit a
sensation.
real core in getting a way of talking about the golf swing that other people probably didn't have before, because it's not full of technical language. He does sometimes get the tackling, but it's all about pace and keeping speed in. But now the latest one is, as you said recently, I think, with these things that can get everybody to a 9 handicapper. Now, with the best will in the world, right, Pádraig can't
It's
get
not met
me.
us.
He's not getting me to a 9 handicapper. It's not going to happen.
You've a better chance than I do, though, in fairness.
Well, possibly, but he's not
No
getting me to
possibly.
it.
What
However,
is it?
it
Is it
won't stop him
1% of
trying.
golfers? Is
It
that
won't stop him
what it is?
trying.
No, you're right. You're right.
And
I
have you
you
found anybody that you know who plays golf who hasn't watched a Paddy's Golf Tips video?
know. That's a very good question. I think most people have been watching them. Absolutely.
If
So,
he had thought about this right, he could have made a fortune. Because they're free.
yeah. You could say that was an error. But, maybe much nicer this way for everybody. Although, I think, I was just trying to remember. I think it's like 1% of golfers are like a 9 handicapper, so he's going to convert the rest of the 99% of golfers worldwide into,
Brilliant,
yeah. So I look forward to us reaching
isn't
that point and that pinnacle in our golfing
Yeah, the
careers.
next time you play, which will be the first time in about 2 years, when you tee it
Sure.
up and somebody says, "What are you playing off, Emma?" And you say, "Well, I was watching Pádraig's video, so
Yes,
technically I'm
nearly
playing off
nine.
nine. Nearly nine."
Nearly nine. That's what I'm gonna take it on as a challenge. I'm gonna watch every video. I'm gonna put them all to the test, and I'm gonna have nearly nine. That's what it's gonna be called. Nearly nine.
I think there is a lot to be said about these tips on videos and things on YouTube, and certainly if they can be, being serious for a minute, it's like a lot of things, a little information in the wrong hands can do a lot of damage.
Oh,
And
yes.
how many of my friends and how many people do we know who play golf who find themselves struggling a wee bit and looking at their computer screen, oh, there's such and such on the video. Oh, that's what I'm doing wrong. And away, and that works for 20 minutes, and then they're up the left again. I would still
Yes.
suggest, as something of a traditionalist, that it would be best not to just keep looking for fixes and maybe go and see a pro and actually get a series of lessons to improve your understanding of what you're doing. That's my personal advice. However, if listening to Pádraig Harrington gets you to 9 handicap or knock yourself out.
I know. Like, let us know. Like,
Yes, let us
keep
know.
us posted how those world handicaps are like
Yeah.
ticking away, ticking down every time. But you're so
Absolutely.
right, though, Ida. It's sincerely meant. Not even tongue in cheek. that claim, was it true?
Absolutely brilliant. All right, Emma, that is us for this episode of the NI Golf Channel podcast. Back in a few weeks, we'll certainly be back post Masters, where obviously you and me be loaded because all our tips will have come in. And we'll chat a bit more because the season will have started, the amateur golf season will have started a bit closer to home. And obviously the build-up towards the Open, the Irish Open will really be in earnest. And the NI Golf Challenge and the NI Open and all that sort of stuff. So the season really feels like it's starting. Emma, are you heading out to the Masters to work with Sky Television?
I'm sadly not going there. I will be working on it, but I will be very firmly placed in London, not on the A4.
Congratulations on your piece with Amy Bullock.
Ah, thank you. She's fantastic. It would have been hard to mess that one up, to be fair.
Yeah, but, for people who don't know who Amy is.
So she is, she's been a part of the board of directors of EDGA for several years, and she's now the first director of women's golf that they've appointed. And she's one of the most enthusiastic and inspiring people that you'll find in the world of golf. And she is going to work absolutely as hard as she can to get more and more women with disabilities involved in golf at all levels. It's not just on, you know, EDGA's big events, but on their monthly events, on their tours, on their making golf more accessible, because we know that golf can have quite a lot of barriers to people in general, from the anti-hoodie brigade to various other things. And I think, well, preaching to the converted here, but you can have even more barriers put in your way if you are trying to approach the game with a disability. And she is just amazing at blitzing those barriers out of the way. And this will be for getting more women and girls involved in the game as well, which is obviously fantastic. So yeah, she's great.
See the clip of the wee feature somewhere?
Yes. It is still available online. It's still on the EDGA website, definitely. And it should be on the Sky Sports one somewhere, but it's hard to find. The world of golf moves very quickly on the Sky Sports website. So,
well, the good news is that we will share it out. At the minute, you share it on our socials.
All right, don't touch me.
Seawood. Shaking that ass. Shaking that ass. Shaking that ass. Seawood. Shaking that ass. Shaking that ass.